Okay, imagine being a 10-year-old kid when something huge, something supernatural happens in the world. This event is all anyone is talking about for the next 40 years. And you get to be 50 years old, and everyone you know is still obsessed with this event. And you live in a time where there's no internet or Facebook, there wasn't even newspapers when this thing happens. This event happens, but it makes such a huge impact on the world and life as you knew it, and was totally over. Everything changed. There were millions of witnesses, and nobody can stop talking about it. And they all have been waiting for 40 years to see what happens next and how it's going to affect them and their nation. And they're frightened, and you know they're frightened because in this 40 years, you have grown up and you started a profession, and this profession that you're in puts you in contact with all of the world's leaders and superpowers. Okay, and let's say that you have been blessed with exceptionally good looks. You have exquisite looks, and you have a very big personality, a big heart, outgoing. And so these two things help you rise to the top in your profession, because being nice looking and having an open nature, in fact, the meaning of your name actually means broad, as in a magnanimous personality. And you like hosting people and helping, and so giving comes natural to you. So here you are in this world, you're working your job, and you're kind of in the know with all the big political leaders, and all they can do is obsess about this event that happened that changed the world, and they want to know what's going to happen next, and you and they're talking about how scared they are. Okay, so I set the stage there. So what do you think this event was, and who is this 10-year-old child that's now 50? So let's backtrack a little, and then I'll go on with what happens to this main character in the story. Okay, to set the stage for this story, there was this family consisting of 12 brothers. Their father's name was Israel, so the family of 70 people is called the family of Israel. So all of the sons and their wives and their kids, they all have to go and live in Egypt because there's a famine, and Egypt is the only place with any food. And everything goes good for a while until the Egyptian pharaoh decides to make slaves out of Israel's family. At this point in history, God decides to introduce himself to the whole world. Okay, this is when our main character is 10 years old, and she's living in another country, and she's just watching with the rest of the world. So the stage is set for God's big debut, and he decides that he's going to show himself to the whole world by helping this family of Israel break free from this world superpower, which is Egypt. So one supernatural event happens after the other. It's the biggest upset, underdog story ever. Egypt ends up destroyed, vanquished, annihilated in front of the whole world, and these nobodies, these slaves, are led out into the desert where they declare that this force who calls himself the God of Israel, they make him their king and their God, and he leads them and he gives them instructions on how to build their society and all the rules for living. And so all the nations of the world see the largest civilization, Egypt, destroyed, and they see all the miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, and then they see all these slaves that one day they're nobodies, and the next day they're these people with this powerful God, this powerful force on their side. And everyone sees that they're in the desert, and they're being provided food and water and everything they need, and so the world is watching. Okay, and this goes on for 40 years. And now the word is out that their leader has died and passed the leadership to a new leader, and they're about to come out of the desert and possess the land. So this God of Israel has promised them a piece of land, and they're about to come out and take possession of the land. So, okay, so back to this 10-year-old person who's now 50. This person, probably the same as you would, and most of us would, has come to the logical conclusion that this God, this force, is helping this family, and he made promise to this to promises to this family, and he promised to give them this land. He calls himself the God of Israel. And you're living in this land that they're going to come out of the desert, and this land's been promised to them. So you imagine that you're this 50-year-old and you're running your business on the outskirts of town, and two men from this family come to your place of business. They're undercover spies. They're seeking political information. So you have a choice at this moment. To be loyal, to turn them over to your political leaders, your own cohorts and countrymen, the people that you know and do business with, or you can hide them on your roof under some flax and tell the people that are looking for them that nope, they're not here, they left. If you hurry, maybe you can catch them. Well, you might recognize the story. This is the true story of a beautiful woman named Rahab, who was 10 years old at the time that the family of Israel was led by God into the desert. Then, when she was 50, 40 years later, she's supporting herself when running a brothel disguised as an inn. And she's very exclusive in her business. We're told that she had many important people, including kings, who were involved with her. So she's in the know. She all of these kings come to her. And so she knows what's going on in the world. She knows what all the big wigs, all the political people are saying. So when these two Israelite spies show up at her inn, it's like her whole life was leading to this moment. Because it's kind of crazy that these two men of the highest moral standard would end up at her place, for one. But they're there because they need like political information. They're spying out the situation. She lives on the outskirts of town, and they think surely no one is going to suspect us of being here, of all places. But then things go wrong, and the king is informed that the spies, that Israel has spies in his domain, and he sends messengers to Rahab, and she makes the decision at that point to risk her life for these two men. And so we have to ask, what makes her risk charges of treason? She's a Canaanite. She's connected with these high officials, and you might think, her loyalty would be with the kings that she knows in her own nation. And it wasn't really that she was betraying them, but it was more like what she was doing, it was that she was sincerely convicted that the Jews were being divinely led, and they had a right to their land. And so for the past 40 years, the whole world had heard about the miracles, the Exodus to the Red Sea to Sinai, and this whole sojourn in the desert. And so she just logically concludes God is behind the Jews. So, in other words, she knows exactly who God is. So after she hides the spies on her roof, she realizes this situation, like how did this situation even come about? Like, to me, I think of something that comes up a lot, that about the relationship with the Jews and non-Jews, and it seems like this is one of those situations where the Jews and the non-Jews need each other for this whole plan to work. they were at her house, and she made the decision to hide them, and then she asked them for a favor. She said, I know that, I know that God is with you, and because I've done this kindness for you, I want you to do a kindness for me, for my whole household, and I want you to save us from death. So when you come to take over the land, I want you to save me and my family. And so it's like this unique situation. I mean, how did this happen? But she saw it as an opportunity for change. When she saw these two men, it was almost like two angels came to her house. She saw their behavior, she saw their inner purity, and they were so different from what she was, her whole environment. And people operated out of, what their bodies needed. But she saw that their behavior went according to the direction of their souls. They were led by something higher. And she wanted that so much that she risked her life to protect them. And she had to have been thinking, how did I end up here? How, maybe look at me, look at my life. Maybe I need a new environment. Maybe I need new sources of influence. Maybe this is my chance. Maybe this is God, this God that I've thought about for 40 years but never really knew how to connect with him. Maybe this is him right now in front of me. This is my opportunity, and maybe I'm going to grab it. And so it's one thing to know something in your head and another thing to actually like internalize it so that the knowledge starts to turn into action. And so she had it in her head. Logically, she saw that this was the God of Israel, and that it made the most sense to be on his side. And she wanted what these people had. She wanted a different life, and she wasn't sure how to do it. And so what the sages say is that she took three things that she usually had for her profession, which was the rope and the window and the location of her house by the wall. That this is what her high-profile clients used the rope to arrive and depart through her window, so they could come unnoticed and then, leave the city without having to pass through the central gate. So the sages tell us that Rahab, she approaches God, and she expresses her desire to correct or to put right or to make good her deeds by using her window and her rope and her wall to help the two spies escape from the authorities that are looking for them. So what she realizes is that the physical things that we have in our life, they're only tools, and it's up to us to decide, do we use them for good or for bad? And so she understands that she can continue in the way she's going, use the rope attached to the window for her business purposes, or she can use them for the sake of God, the God of Israel. And this is what she chooses to do. And so this is the time of year that we're all thinking about change and what we all need to do. And so this story just kind of fits how Rahab's insight, she took this external knowledge that she had, and she brought it inside of herself. She embraced a new reality. And so she leaves us with the message that none of us have any excuse not to change. Whatever is our circumstance, I mean, here she is, a prostitute. This is a chaotic time, just a crazy time, and she's still a scary time for her. And she took responsibility, and she didn't ignore the opportunity right in front of her. I mean, she could have just decided, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to use the rope and the window and the wall the way I've always have. But in order to have a relationship with God, she decided that she would change and that she would use these same things that she had and she would use them to help the spies get away. And so ultimately she ends up marrying Joshua, and our sages tell us that from her come 8 high priests that were also prophets, and among them were Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So, I mean, it's amazing what can happen when one person decides that she wants to give her heart to God, and just the way that she was able to see him in the midst of everything, to see God's hand in her life, and to grab hold of it, make the best of it. There was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of chaos. She didn't know if the men would accept her, but she risked everything, and God was there for her, and her whole family was saved. So I thought that was a great story about how someone changed their whole world, changed their whole environment, changed everything. And they called out to God, and he was there. And they grabbed on and went with it. All right. That's the story of the day. Shana Tovah.